What an incredibly hard day to be in the pulpit. I say that and I think, can it get any worse? And then the next thing we know, there's another tragedy. We're approaching the 1 week mark of a violent, violent act in our nation and in our world. I'm not sure there is anyone that isn't touched by this act, either through fear or sadness. And I feel a need to speak about it, about violence. We're also in the midst of stewardship, and I think it's important to stay focused on that subject. So I'm going to try to address both. And strangely enough, for the gospel for today speaks rather beautifully to both. The story of the vineyard owner and the tenants. I've really never liked this parable because it's so violent. And I sometimes wonder to myself, why would Jesus use such a violent story? But there are some good lessons in this scripture for us, especially today, especially responding to acts of violence in our world. So if you'll bear with me, we'll try to talk a little bit about both subjects, maybe in a little bit different way. I've been interested lately in the number of vineyards popping up all around us. Almost any direction you drive, you pass vineyards. Every direction. We drove to Brownwood, and we passed one going north. I'd not seen any going that direction. We passed a vineyard going that direction. I'm not a real wine person, so I don't frequent vineyards, but they do amaze me a little bit. And I do wonder, how many can this area support? I've had grapes in my yard before. My home in Oklahoma had a grapevine across the back fence. My dad grew grapes in our backyard. And I know that they're not just real easy to grow and produce. What I read have said that it's not cheap to start up a vineyard either. It takes a lot of supplies. And just to get 1 gallon of wine, you have to have 20 pounds of grapes. They say a cluster of 100 for a glass of wine. That's a lot of grapes. That's a lot of grapes. So this landowner didn't just jump in one day, I've got a hobby, I'm going to build a vineyard, let me get it started, and then never mind, I'm going to rent it out and move on. This landowner invested a lot into this project. It's something that he started and he gave it his all until he moved away and leased it out to tenants. In addition to what he had invested, this landowner lost a lot. He lost his workers, many of them trying to go and collect what was his. He lost his son in an attempt to go and collect what was his. When Jesus asked, what would the landowner do when he returned to the vineyard, I was surprised by their answer. My first response would have been, he wouldn't go, not by himself. If I were the landowner, I would be getting someone to take care of the matter legally. Would you go to collect? Not I, because I think the landowner would be done. I think the landowner had to have been traumatized by what happened. I feel like he had to have felt, they've taken so much from me. They've hurt me. I want nothing to do with that vineyard anymore. But no one says that. They respond with what? More violence. Violence breeds violence, breeds violence, breeds violence. It's not a new response. It's a human response. Why would we think this one man can stand up to these killers? My question would be, how do you stop the violence? Not what do you do to the tenants, but how do we stop the violence? I felt a little bit like that on Monday morning when I heard about the shooting. Before I went to bed, I had seen something pop up that said, Las Vegas, many injured. But I was tired and there wasn't any story to it, so I went on to bed. And when I woke up on Monday morning and I heard about the shooting, all I could think of is, not again. How do we stop the violence? We can't end violence with more violence. Somewhere the chain has to be broken, and people need to see and need to experience love. It's up to us to show that to the world, especially those who've never had a chance to see it. Sadly, we live in a society, even more so today, when we're desensitized to violence. We pay money to go see it at the movie theater. Just check the ratings. A bang-em-up, shoot-em-up movie opens on Friday evening, and a loving, romantic comedy opens on Friday evening. And which one sells out at the box office? It's not the loving one. It's the violent one. How do we as a church, how do we as Christians, how do we impact our society with love? Friday night, Roy and I went to Dallas to the T.B. Maston Foundation dinner, award dinner, where Susie Painter was receiving an award. And Judge Wendell Griffin, who is a circuit judge and a pastor of a church, preached the message. And he made the comment that the problem with Christians is that we speak too meekly. Meekly. It seems to me that when Jesus laid the foundation of the church, is so we can speak boldly. So that we can come together, not to come together and sit and visit and have a wonderful time and sing really great songs and eat really great meals together. That's all wonderful. But so that we could find ways to share God's love and peace with others, and so that we could speak boldly, so that this circle can grow and expand, so we can show people that violence and hatred and evil are not the answers. Generation after generation, people have utilized the church in so many different ways. We've had generations where there have been extreme emphasis on spreading the good news through evangelism. We've sadly had generations where we've used violence in the name of religion. And there have been generations when the church has just kind of rocked along, quietly keeping on. But perhaps today is the day that we need to begin to broadcast far and wide, loud and clear, the love of Jesus. His love for the people and for the world, far and wide, every race, every creed, every walk of life. We've entered into a time in our world where the church is really taking the back seat to almost everything. It's taking the back seat to families. It's taking a back seat to activities. It's taking a back seat to jobs and to money. We come up with every reason under the sun why it's more important to be elsewhere than to be together. I realize for most of you, I am preaching to the choir. And sometimes the choir needs to hear, so they're reminded why they sing in the choir. I was talking to Jane Childress on Friday night, and we were talking about last Sunday, and she said, you know, how was your services? I said, good. I said, we're in the middle of stewardship, and she said, so are we. She said, last week Kyle used a funny example, and I think I've actually used it before, but it is funny and it is poignant. A chicken and a pig were discussing breakfast. They were arguing over who was more important in breakfast. The pig said, well, chickens are only involved in breakfast. Pigs are committed. You all give an egg every day. We give ourselves. Kyle told his church it was time for them to go hog wild for church. I laughed and then I thought, wait, he's exactly right. It is time for us to step up and go hog wild for church, hog wild for Jesus, hog wild for love. I pray for the day that people once again are hog wild for the church, and where the church could and should be a bold voice in this world. I pray for the ability of the church to spread love throughout our world through a real sacrifice of ourselves. Like the landowner, doing everything he could to create a fertile place for growing the fruit of the vine. Yes, that means giving of our finances, but more than that, it means making a decision to be a people of God. A people of God who want to work together, who want to spread the gospel of Jesus, the gospel of love to our world. Last week at the end of the service, we sang a new song that I had really loved the words to. And I have to be honest with you, I got more remarks about this hymn than I have ever gotten before, really on anything we've done. Request for copies of the words. I wanted to read the words to you today, because I think they are the words that would make us the church that God calls us to be. For everyone born, a place at the table. For everyone born, clean water and bread. A shelter, a space, a safe place for growing. For everyone born, a star overhead. For woman and man, a place at the table. Revising the roles, deciding the share. With wisdom and grace, dividing the power. For woman and man, a system that's fair. For young and for old, a place at the table. A voice to be heard, a part in the song. The hand of a child in a hand that are wrinkled. For young and for old, the right to belong. for just and unjust a place at the table, abuser abused with need to forgive, in anger, in hurt, a mindset of mercy, for just and unjust a new way to live. For everyone born a place at the table, to live without fear and simply to be, to work, to speak out, to witness and worship. For everyone born the right to be free. And God will delight when we are creators in justice, and joy, compassion, and peace. Yes, God will delight when we are creators of justice. Justice and joy. May this be our goal as our church. May we go all in, hog wild, reaching out, reaching in to share love and peace and joy, not just with each other, but with this world. May we be a bold voice. And may that begin now. Amen and amen. Our hymn of response today is hymn number 514, Christians, Let's Go and Serve Him.